The Oldie Literary Lunch is brought to you by Noble Caledonia, the world's leaders in small ship cruising. Tom Ford talks about the village news, the truth behind England's rural ideal, at the Oldie Literary Lunch.
I'll hand you over to the greatest comedian of the last 4 or 5 millennia, Mr. Barry Cryer.
Hello. Ah! My name's Philip Hammond. I'd like to tell you a joke. I ask our speakers to indulge me. Many of you here know the ritual. We have a convention. I do the parrot joke. Anybody feels the urge to join in, please don't. It spoils it for the few who haven't heard it. This woman sees a beautiful blue and gold parrot in a shop. And she said to the man, he's gorgeous, how much? He said, 20 quid. She said, 20 pounds, he's beautiful. He said, well, I've got to be honest, he's got form, he's got history. He was in a brothel. And to put it delicately, he's got quite an extensive vocabulary. She said, 20 pounds, I'll take a chance on that. And she took the parrot back to her flat. And she took the cover off. And the parrot looked round and said, new place, very nice. And her two daughters walked in, and the parrot said, new place, new girls, very nice indeed. And her husband walked in, and the parrot said, hello, Keith. Now, enough. Time to introduce our speakers. Our first speaker is from the A team, the A303 in actual fact. Our author tells of the rural world, the countryside, the villages, his tale is unfurled, of communities, and the detail I particularly like, as instructed by Norman Tebbit, he got on his bike, and thence, but enough, I'll now cut it short. Will you welcome our author, Tom Fort?
Thank you very much, Barry. I had heard the parrot joke before, but it does not stale with repetition, I feel. And I'd like to endorse what Harry says about the magazine, a splendid magazine. And I'd like to say thanks to them for giving me a free lunch. I haven't had a free lunch here for a very, very long time indeed. And I would like to thank them also because they support books, as books should be supported, and they support the poor, deluded fools that write them. And so I am profoundly grateful to the Oldie for that. And also because a lady reviewer, whose name escapes me now, actually reviewed this book very kindly, said some very perceptive things about it. She didn't like the subtitle, The Truth Behind England's Rural Idyll, and she was right, it's crap. And I didn't like it either, and I said to the publishers I didn't like it, and they ignored me. And I also took issue with the very jolly, jaunty cover, which is very jolly and jaunty and striking and such like, but gives a very misleading idea of the serious work of scholarship that actually lies within the covers of this book. But when I said this to the... it gives rise to the expectation that it's going to be a sort of just a jolly jaunt around the pretty villages of England, a sort of Bill Bryson meets Penelope Keith. What a grisly combination that would be. And it isn't. And so I will try and give you an idea of what it is about. It is not a jolly jaunt. It is actually, leave aside the subtitle, it is exactly what it says on the cover. It is a book about village life, past, present, and with some of my own, what I hope, fondly hope, are deeply perceptive, a look ahead at what may lie in the future for the English village. And it consists really of three sort of strands. One is an overview of village life from the beginning of time, really, and how are the villages that we now know first put down their roots in the locations that we know them, how feudal England gave way to sort of primitive rural capitalism, how the village was administered, how enterprising, energetic people unlike me went up and lazy, unimaginative people like me went down in the world, how the countryside was shaped, how enclosure came along, fields were planted and such like, but how really through history up until 1945, the purpose, the function of the rural village was to support agriculture, was to support agricultural workers. And as we all know, post-war, the agricultural worker, apart from in Ambridge, has become a very rare bird indeed. And how villages post-1945 very largely have been taken over by, God bless them, the middle classes, who have arrived in villages with their own kind of values and beliefs, and how the nature of village life has changed utterly in the last 70 years or so. So that is sort of one part of it. The second part, I went to look at individual villages. I needed a selection of villages. There are over 9,000 villages in England. First thing I did when planning this book was to scrub out Scotland, Wales and Ireland, because the thing would have got completely out of hand. 9,000 villages, enough to choose from. And I had a brainwave, I thought it was a brainwave anyway, which was to write about villages, to look in detail at villages that had been written about before at some time in the past. One or two of them well-known, like Slad, I'm sure everybody's read Cider with Rosie, where Laurie Lee was brought up. A small village in North Oxfordshire where Flora Thompson based Lark Rise to Candleford. And then some other very obscure ones. And actually, the plan worked pretty well, except in the case of Bybury, which is a very pretty village in the Cotswolds, where I spent a very happy 2 days and then wrote about it in the book. And the book came out, and I then received a highly abusive email from the bloke who runs the post office in Bybury, pointing out with some justification that I'd made a couple of, actually one major balls up, which was that I got the name of the cricket ground wrong. He accused me of being arrogant, disdainful and lazy, and most hurtful of all, accused me of falling asleep during the annual parish meeting, which happened to take place the night that I was there, which was a complete lie, because in my capacity as a local newspaper reporter many years ago, I have indeed slept through probably hundreds of parish council meetings, and I'm a parish councillor where I live now, and although I don't go to sleep in the meetings, I often wish I was asleep. But on this occasion, they were discussing the normal things that get discussed at parish meetings, the flood threat, parking, or graffiti, all that kind of stuff, and I put it all in the book, so I was able to show this. If I'd been asleep, how do I report your meeting so accurately? Which I'm glad to say he didn't come back. There was no comeback. So you had to be careful about the villages that I chose. But that part of it worked well. And then the third element of it is a look at how the village is doing today. Which kind of villages are thriving? Which kind of villages are sort of moribund? Which villages are in danger of being overwhelmed by a tidal wave of new housing? And I've had a look at sort of, I have a fantasy in the book in which I'm made commissar or tsar or whatever you like to call it, in charge of all rural planning in the future. And what I would do, and the first thing that I would do, is to make a huge bonfire and burn every single conservation status document that has been produced for villages in this country, because they have been a disaster for the prettiest villages. Many villages in this country are simply too pretty for their own good. They get given conservation status, then you're unable to build anything, you're unable to bring in new families, and the lifeblood of the village dries up. And on the other side, you get villages which are being overwhelmed by a vile conspiracy between land development companies and volume builders. And so I sort of point the way ahead. I've only got a couple of minutes left, so it is extraordinarily good and very insightful stuff, as you will have gathered. But I'm sure that we, all of us, will have been deeply reassured by the comments of our Prime Minister a couple of weeks ago, in which she promised to dedicate herself to ensuring that ordinary working people in this country were able to buy a house. And I, myself, was profoundly moved by this promise. And then afterwards, I suddenly thought, well, my one sort of reservation about it is I'm not sure how much of her is going to be left to dedicate herself after she has either extracted us from or drowned in the swamp, the Brexit swamp. But anyway, who knows? We will see. There are plenty more ideas in the book about it. I personally would be enriched to a very small extent were you to buy this book, but I can assure you that all of you would be very much enriched by buying it and then reading it. But unfortunately, my useless publishers have actually failed to produce any copies. So I will just take a promise from you. And if you don't like it and you're not enriched by it, you can find my email address on the Sunning Common Parish Council website, South Oxfordshire. And you are welcome to let me know why you don't like it. Thank you very much.
The Oldie magazine is available at all good newsagents, but you can also subscribe and book tickets for the literary lunches at theoldie.co.uk.